All right, y'all ready to do something? Come on, something is better than nothing, isn't it? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you made it today. Come on. Isn't it good to be in the house of God? I wouldn't want to be anywhere else today, would you? Well, I got a question for you today. Are you ready? No, I'm serious. Are you ready? I just want to let you know we are in the stages of beginning negotiations for a building for this church. And I just want to let you know we're about ready to cross over. So let's get excited. I mean, look, y'all aren't acting like you're excited or anything. Come on, we're about to move into a place that God wants us. And I want you guys just to pray with me. Tuesday I've got a meeting, and we're going to start some things, start the ball rolling. I've been kind of holding back on any information on the building because I really didn't want to prematurely give you anything and get your hopes up. But I want to let you know something. I believe God's moving. And that we're going to be moving soon. So I want you to pray with me, agree with me, and that God's going to give us the right. We've always prayed the right place at the right time for the right price. And so right now we're just down to the price on it. And I believe that they just might give it to us. I don't know. We'll see what God wants to do. But I just ask you to pray with us. We've got momentum as a church, but we're going to utilize the momentum of the Spirit of God that we've got, and we're going to make a move. You know what? You can miss. Can I just talk to you a little bit before we get into the message about the timing of God? That the timing of God is important. That a lot of us, God brings us to a place. You know, God brought the children of Israel to the River of Jordan, and he said, now you're going to have to enter into Canaan. How many of you know that when he told them, that I'm giving you Canaan for your possession, now you're going to have to possess it. It's one thing for God to give you a possession, but it's a whole another thing to have to go in and fight for your possession. I believe that God gives us time in our life where we come to a point in our lives, and many of us have come to this place, but we've not entered into it. And so I believe we're coming into something that is going to require. We're going to have to do some work. There's some things we have to do as a church to the building itself to get it where I have a vision for this place. I've been praying over it. I believe God's given me a vision. So I just want to encourage you. Some of you guys, I believe this is the Holy Spirit, are at a place where you're coming into something that's new and unfamiliar, but God is going to give you grace to do it. Come on. You say, Pastor, I'm not qualified. I don't have. That doesn't matter. Favor is greater than qualification. Do you hear me? The favor of God is greater than qualification. God has never called anyone based on their ability. God calls us and bases what he does in our life on our availability. And if we're willing, the Bible says if we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. And God brings us to a point to see what we're going to do. Now, I just want to ask you as your pastor, are you ready to cross over or are you satisfied with where we are now? Come on. You can stay satisfied where you are, but God wants to do something. I remember one day we were still a smaller church. We were in this building. We've gone to two services. You know, if we had one service in here, we couldn't put everybody in here on Sunday morning. But I remember one time, and I don't think the lady's in here anymore, thank God. But I mean, not thank God, but that didn't sound right, did it? I just want to let you know, I'm not happy if anybody ever leaves here. And, you know, I've been pastor 9 years, and I still got to deal with things when people just don't show up anymore. And so that's not my heart for people to go. But this particular lady, you know how I stand there at the end of service, she walked by me and she said, Pastor, you know, I'm thankful for what God's doing here in the church. She said, but I really liked it when we were small. You know what? I believe the Holy Spirit gave me a question to ask. And I said, ma'am, let me ask you something. Who should we allow to go to hell so we can stay how we are? You know, really, we've got to be careful as believers that it doesn't become all about us all the time, about what we want. And I know, you know what? You know what I've learned? There's never a Sunday where everything is perfect for me. There's never a day that, I try to plan my day, but you know what I've learned? The Bible says many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord that directs his steps. There's things that we try to plan, but sometimes even our plans don't go the way we thought they should, huh? I just want to encourage you, if we're going to be the church that God calls us to be, if we're going to be difference makers, if we're going to live a life of doing something a little bit extra, we've got to understand that sometimes two things are going to have to happen. We're going to have to be inconvenienced, and we're going to have to be uncomfortable. Let me ask you, are you willing to be inconvenienced? Matthew 5:41 is our scripture as we move into our third message. Let me segue into our message. Matthew 5:41. Today I want to talk about walking feet. We talked about a willing heart, a watchful eye, and now we're going to talk about walking feet, that it's our responsibility to go out into our community, out into our world, out into our city to make a difference. You know, I read this scripture this morning again just to, I've been reading it, but to get a little refreshment on what Jesus is really saying here. And he said this, he said, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person." How do you know it's hard or it's easy to not resist a good person? But the rubber meets the road in our Christianity when we have to yield to an evil person. And he said, "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person, because if he slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too." Now, all these things that Jesus is saying here, these are things that we have a tendency to want to stand up to and say, "No, it's not right. Somebody slaps me on the cheek, they better get ready." Right? But Jesus is saying, the way I want you to do things in this life is so other than the world, to what the world tells you to do. The response to the things when we're wronged. You know what I learned a long time ago in ministry? David in a psalm says this. He says, "You are my defense." In speaking to the Lord, and he says, "I will run to you." There's times in our life where God wants us to remain defenseless. Matter of fact, when you defend yourself, you've got to make things happen in your own strength. But when you choose to allow God to defend you, and I bet right now there's some people in here who are wronged. Somebody did you wrong this week. Somebody said something about you this week. But instead of standing up and say, "I'm not going to take this," I've learned this, that if I'll just back off and allow God to defend me, then it turns out a lot better than if I were to defend myself. Let me see how I can say this. What you maintain and defend in your own strength has to be accomplished by that strength. Did you hear that? What you maintain and defend in your own strength has to be accomplished by your strength. And I want to tell you, God wants to do things supernaturally in your life, but it'll never happen through your nature. When we begin to defend and fight, God says, "Go ahead. See how you like the result." We've all been there, right? We've all, some of us, we're real men. We can fight. But you know what? God doesn't want us to defend ourselves or use our strength, our ability, our intellect when it comes to dealing with other people. He wants us to operate in supernatural grace. I've learned this, that I can be my own worst enemy when it comes to pastoring a church. When I wanna manipulate the situation. When I wanna cause things to happen. You know, our problem is a lot of times is that we're good at making things happen. That's our problem, is that it's not that we don't have any ability. We've just not learned how to relinquish our ability to the Holy Spirit. So when we come to this, put that scripture back up there, please. So when we come to situations like this, because of our success in ourselves, we want to respond out of ourselves. And when you respond within yourself, the results you get are only limited to your nature. And Jesus goes on to say, how about this? If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, he didn't say if they ask you to go 1 mile. See, back in this day, the Roman soldiers, if they saw a Jew and they had a burden to carry, they said, here, take this burden and follow me. Jesus said, go with them and then go extra. There's got to be something about our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ that when we do something, it separates us from everyone else. The how we do it. You see, Jesus is talking about not only an action here, there's an action involved where he says if they force you to go 1 mile, go with them too. So it's not just an action that Jesus is dealing with right here. You know what else he's dealing with? An attitude. It's not just that he is asking us to go further than we expect, but he's also asking us to do it in a mild and meek and gentle spirit. I don't know about you, but how many of y'all have raised kids where you've told them children, and how many of y'all got children in here, where you've told them to do something, and they did it, but they didn't do it right. Right? You see, God is just as concerned with what you do, not only with what you do, but also how you do it. That's why we should be impeccable. I'm preaching today. We should be impeccable in how we handle our business. We should be impeccable with how we handle our finances. We should be impeccable with whatever's under the stewardship of what God's given us ought to reflect an attitude of excellence in everything that we do. You say, Pastor, I'm not there. You can be. We can be. Y'all all know my journey with my physical body right now. That if you'd have told me, it'll be 2 months, September 30th, where I've lost about 32 to 34 pounds. It fluctuates a little bit. But if you'd have told me I would never eat fried chicken again, I'd slap you. But I ain't eating fried chicken again. I may have a piece one day, but it ain't going to be any day soon. You see, I began, my attitude changed toward eating because this is my motto now. I want to live in maximum efficiency so that I could have maximum effectiveness. And your thinking changes. You see, when I became a pastor, you had this grand, I'm just sharing my heart. Can I do that? This is not on my notes. But as a pastor, you have this grand idea that God, that you're going to have this great church. And I do have a great church. I know that. Not because of me, but because of you. And so you have an idea of how you're going to do all this. But then at some point, there's a shift in your life where you realize this, that your modus operandi has got to change. It's not about you building your kingdom. It's about honoring God. And then you begin to learn this, and I had to come to this realization in my life that people are not a means to my end. People, can I just help you a little bit? People are not there for you to use for your success. So God had to deal with me on some things that to learn that people aren't a means to my end, but that people are my purpose. So when you begin to think that way, that's why I take everything personal if someone leaves the church. Because it's a personal thing to me that I believe that, here's how I believe, When you come to a church, God brings you to a church. And that we have, we can't leave the church unless I have a word of the Lord. You got to have a word of the Lord. You don't just, this is not some movie we're going to that we judge and say, okay, well, you know, I didn't like that movie. I ain't going back. Don't bring, see, we need to reject our American mentality when it comes to church. Throw me something, mister. See, we go home, well, pastor wasn't on today. Church was hot. Worship was long. Come on. We laugh, but how many times do we do that? Instead of saying, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to worship. Thank you. We become judgmental and critical. How do I know? See, we think because we've been in the Lord a certain number of years, we have attained a position in our life where we can. When we begin to judge, we lose the ability to serve. Because we have placed ourselves in a position higher than everyone else where it's we think it's our responsibility to evaluate everything and do nothing. Oh, that's good preaching. See, if you can't say amen, say, oh, me. Jesus goes on to say, give to the one who asks you. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So Joe, no matter how much stuff doesn't come back, God says got to keep on letting people borrow it. And I know how that is. How many of us, we need to bring things back as believers when we borrow. So I want to talk to us today about the willingness to go beyond what's asked of us. You know, you say, Pastor, well, that sounds like a good message. Well, let's do a little self-evaluation right now. I'm just going to ask you a few questions. You don't have to verbally answer it, but I want you to answer to yourself to give you a gauge on how you're doing in serving. Let me ask you this. When you're required to be somewhere, are you prompt? Are you early? You say, Pastor, it's not a big deal. Everything's a big deal. It all matters in the eyes of God because everything that we do as believers is representative and reflecting of who God is to us. So how are you on your time management? On showing up on time? Number two, when you tell someone you're going to do something, do you do whatever you can within your ability to follow through on what you said you're going to do? Is your word valuable to others? That's just little things in our life that aren't little things. What little things are, here you go, you ready? Little things are indicators of what's real, of what you really are. I've learned this about people, that most of us are patternable in our life. I've learned those who are inconsistent. Let me just say this in a sweet, loving way as a pastor. I've learned that those that have accepted inconsistencies in their life have the innate ability to blame others for where they are. And so they stay stuck. The minute we begin to own inconsistencies and the little foxes in our life is the minute that God will begin to change us. You know, Brother Larry, we're in the Model Man series. Our men are going through the small group of the Model Men. Great. Just some great stuff. And he said, you got to learn who your inner circle is because if not, you're going to waste the time that God's given you. In other words, There's certain people that you give your time to. And I'm going to minister to everybody and love everybody, try to help everybody, but I can't give all my time just to anybody. Because there's some people who don't value their time. And if they don't value their time, they won't value your time. Oh, Lord. And so you've got to understand that your life is limited. You have a beginning and an end. And how can you have maximum impact with your life? Jesus, in Acts 10:38, this is Peter speaking. He says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. You know, you need to understand that there is an anointing on your life, that Jesus is anointed. He was anointed with what? The Holy Spirit and with power. We've got to realize it's one thing for us to do good, but it's a whole other thing to operate in the spirit of power. You see, Peter and John, when they went to the temple called Beautiful, when the man said, give me some money, they said, we don't have no money, but we got some power. Such as I have, give I unto thee. You see, I believe in social justice, that we ought to meet the needs as we can meet needs in our society. But we were called to so much more than social justice as believers. The anointing of God rests on us. Come on, I need a better amen than that. The power of God dwells on the inside of us. And we've got something to give other than just material things. Jesus was anointed. The Bible, the word anointed, you've heard me say this, means to be set apart for sacred use. When you got saved, you became anointed. When you got filled with the Holy Spirit, you got anointed with the power of God. What did I get anointed for? Not so I could go around and flex my spiritual muscles. You got anointed to do what Jesus did. The Bible says he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. That's why Jesus told the disciples, he said, listen, tarry in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 until you be endued with power. Why? Because there is no fulfillment of the ministry of Jesus apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, stay, wait. In other words, I'm sending you to the upper room to wait until you get it. And then don't go anywhere until you do. It's one thing to do good, but it's a whole other thing to bring the power of God to the situation. You see, our problem is, that kind of sounds kind of negative. The problem is, not our problem, we don't have any problem. The problem is that when the opportunity arises, we don't recognize it, and then we just kind of flippantly say, I'm going to pray for you. That's so weak. When it's time to pray, it's time to pray. When you're there and the opportunity arises, man, lay your hands on them and pray for them. I was in the gym the other day. I met a young man named Dexter. He began to tell me about his business. He said, Pastor, they know I'm a pastor in there by now. He said, I want you to pray for me. My business could be. I said, what's wrong? He said, well, I just need some things to begin to happen. I said, come on, we're going to pray right now. In the middle of the gym, laid hands on him, said, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come into agreement. You got the power of God on the inside of you. You've got to know that when the opportunity arises that Jesus brings a person to you and they're just sharing their heart, it's time to pray with power. It's the power of God that has a lasting impact on a person. They'll never forget. It's dunamis. The Bible, the power that God's talking about is inherent power. You've heard me give this definition. The power of moral excellence. Miraculous power. Power consisting in resting upon armies, forces and hosts. That kind of power. And then it says, because God was with him. You know, when you make your mind up, the Bible says Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Can I just tell you something? That anyone who isn't saved is under the influence of the enemy. So there is ministry opportunity everywhere out there. The Bible says that Jesus healed all who were under the power of the enemy. Because the Lord was with him. Do you understand when you make your mind up to go and do what God's called you to do, God has got your back. That God is with you. Mark 16:15, I love this. One of my favorite scriptures through verse 20 says, Jesus came back, he's talking to his disciples. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And they will place their hands on the sick, and they'll get well. Verses 19 and 20 are my favorite part of the whole verse. Yes, the power of God's there, but here they decided. They just took God at his word, and they moved out. It says, and after the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken into heaven. He sat at the right hand of God. And then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. The Lord was with them, worked with them, and confirmed his word with signs and wonders that accompanied. When you make a decision to go out and do what God's called you to do, God's got your back. You say, Pastor, I'm worried about the power of God. Why are you worried about it? You don't have the power to heal a flea. The pressure's not on me for miracles. God's confirmed where he's going to confirm his word with signs and wonders and following. All we've got to do is believe. All we've got to do is act and obey. When we do that, God's got our back. The results are up to him. The obedience is up to me. You see. Here's three keys to walking in the power of God. Are you ready? Three keys. Based on who Jesus is and what Jesus did. Here's a scripture just to write down. John 14:12 says, Jesus told his disciples, he said, the works that I do, you'll do but greater because I go to the Father. We're going to do the works Jesus did but greater in number. Number one, the first key to moving and going in the power of God is that we are going ones. The church, the Greek word for church is ekklesia. The word for ekklesia is sent forth ones. So God anointed us. The anointing on us is in our going. The anointing is for the going, not for the coming to church. The equipping happens here, then we go out there with what we've got. So we are going ones. We inherently are anointed by God to go into the world and be difference makers. The word ekklesia means sent forth ones. Here's what happens when you get saved. You are called out of the world into Jesus to be sent out into the world again in a different way. We are called out to be called in to be sent out again. Amen? You are going ones. The anointing is in the going. Jesus said, he said in John 14:26, he said, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, will teach you and remind you things of everything I said to you. He said, I'm going to send him before you. He will go ahead of you. Romans 8:11 says, the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies of his Spirit who lives in you. Now, that word life is the Zoe life of God, which is always associated with the dunamis power of God. That you don't get this kind of life until you get the power of God. When you get saved, That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said, because you're dead right now. Even though you might be alive physically, spiritually, you're dead. He said, you need a quickening. That word quicken, that in the King James, it says, where it says it's going to bring life to your mortal bodies, the word is quicken. And the word quicken means to make alive in the spirit. That's the Zoe life of God. Just like you were conceived physically where life began through conception, it's spiritually when you get saved, you are spiritually conceived. Come on, I'm preaching. You're spiritually conceived and life, the life of God begins to well up in you and you have the power of the life of God in you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same way that he raised Jesus from the dead, he raises you up through the power of the Holy Spirit. Quicken your body. You ought to feel something. You know when you get quickened. So we are going ones. Number two, we've got to understand that everywhere we go is God ordained. Well, God didn't tell me to go there. Well, wherever you go, God's with you. It's God ordained. I've said this all my life that we become so spiritual in our life that we are looking for divine appointments. You are a divine appointment. Wherever you go is the divine appointment. Do you understand that? That wherever I go, the power of God's in me. I'm divinely appointed to be there unless it's somewhere bad. That's not God, that's you. But when you are walking in the presence of God and you're going to a place, don't you understand that God sent you and that when Jesus is with you, Jesus is there and anything can happen. Anything can happen. We just don't let the devil dupe you to think that life is just life and everything's just ordinary and mundane and normal. Life is not normal when you're quickened by the Holy Spirit. Life is supernatural. And every promotion and everything that God does in your life is just another chance to glorify God. In the good times, in the bad times, in the sad times, in the mad times, in the whatever times, glory to God. Everywhere you go, it's God ordained because God is with you. Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord in Psalm 37:23. The steps, purpose steps, that you're anointed to live and do the purposes of God. You, listen, you are an answer to God's prayer for someone. That's why you ought to always be prayed up. You ought to always, wherever you, when you go, when you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is pray, seek God, get in the Word of God, get you a word for the day. I love people say, you know what, we serve the God of purpose. Yeah, we do. But he's more than just the God of purpose, he's the God of own purpose. He's a God of own purpose. Now, I want to tell you something. Your life is on purpose. Where you are today, it's on purpose. God's got you right where he wants you to make maximum impact in your world. Just sometimes we get in this fog called life, right, where we begin to not think about why we're really here. I tell you what, there's things that happen that God, you know, God used this little blip on the radar. I don't call it a heart attack anymore. It's too long ago. It ain't nothing but a thing. He used this to just reconnect me to my passion. Reconnect me to my purpose. Listen, bad things may happen to you, but God can turn bad things into good things. Matter of fact, bad things can not only turn into good things, it'll turn into something a whole lot better than what you ever thought it could be. Amen. I'm a better man today because of it. Wouldn't trade it for nothing. You mean, Pastor, you like going through it? It wasn't nothing but a thing. If God brings you to something, no matter how you get there, God will give you grace to go through it. Amen? I'm not giving any glory to that situation. I'm going to give glory to God in the situation. I'm going to tell you right now, the devil ain't going to take my, joy, take my smile. Why should I worry about it anyway? That was 2 months ago. The past is the past. You don't live in the past, you build on it. Praise God. You are God ordained. You mean, Pastor, I'm in this situation I'm in with this terrible boss and this terrible job and my terrible hours. You know what Paul said? He said, rejoice. He said, even when your boss is a jerk, he said, do it out of humility. I just read it this morning. He said, serve. He said, he told the masters, don't you be mean to your servants. Represent the Lord in the way you do. We're believers first and foremost above anything that we are. And that should carry over to everything that we do. You're God ordained everywhere you go. We serve the God of all purpose. And then number three, you are not alone. And let me just add something to it. You are not, nor will you ever be alone. Sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves like the prophet Elijah did where he said, Lord, I'm the only one. Remember that? Nobody knows, Lord. God said, get up. Remember what he did? He said, what are you doing, Elijah? You know, when we get in a place of pity and depression, you know what the Lord's saying? What are you doing? What are you doing? Feeling sorry for yourself. I didn't bring you here to fail. You might be in a season where things are down, but you're not failing. You're not a failure. You're not a failure. You're God's man. God's hands on you. This is a season of preparation. There, I'm going to tell you right now, can I just help you a little bit? In my seasons of preparations, I did not understand one thing. It was like I was at a total loss because I've learned that I was in a place in my walk with the Lord where everything worked all the time. I mean, just worked. Everything. Then all of a sudden, nothing worked. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on here? But I've learned that every pause in your progression of your destiny is just a time that God's equipping you to handle something better, is equipping you to succeed in a deeper level. You know what? That's why we have halftime at football games. Halftime at the end of the game, it looks like it. Everybody's leaving the field. You're like, what's going on? But strategy occurs at halftime. Some of you guys are at halftime. You think the game's over, but you're at halftime. Get a word of the Lord. The strategy of God's going to come to you at your pause. And when you get back out on the field, you're going to be better. I'm going to tell you right now by the Holy Spirit, some of y'all need to just realize where you are in your life and thank God and say, okay, Lord, speak. It's halftime. The game's not over. You're not alone. The disciples went forth, Mark 16, 20. They did what God told them to do, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs and wonders. Jesus was anointed by God, and he was anointed with all this power because God was with him. Deuteronomy 31, 6. This is a word for some people. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Sometimes we need to be reminded of this. We know this, but sometimes we forget. Even knowing it, we forget, don't we? That God loves you. God's got your back, and God is more concerned with your success than you are. For you not to succeed in what God's called you to do would be a reproach to Him. I said, did you get that? For you not to succeed in what God has ordained, anointed, and called you to do would bring a reproach on Himself if He did that. So, just look at your neighbor and say, it's only halftime. strap your chin strap and let's get back in the game. Let's stand to our feet today. We're going to do something. Come on, lift your hands before the Lord right now. You're anointed by God. You're anointed to go. Come on, Jesus, right now. I want to ask you, is there anyone here who's come today who needs to make Jesus Lord of their life? Jesus came to this earth and died for you, lived a sinless life so that He could be sacrificed on the cross to take your place and shed His blood so that we might be saved. Is there anyone here who say, Pastor, that's me. Just raise your hand and shake it at me so I can pray for you. Anybody? Come on, Jesus. All right, everybody else, raise your hands because you are anointed to go. The steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered of the Lord. I'm a divine appointment. Father, we thank You. Lord, we are divine appointment. Lord, we thank You that we may have struggled in our destiny and even right now may be struggling and maybe have even forgotten because of the fog of life. But today we re-engage to our purpose that we have been called for such a time as this, that the anointing of God is on my life, that the power of God dwells in me, and I am quickened right now by the Holy Spirit to go and to do and to be who God's called me to be. Father, I loose the power of God over Your people. I loose the anointing of God as we take the next step in the journey of Life Church and even personally. Lord, we thank You that You'll never leave us nor forsake us. You're a faithful God. And Lord, I decree new life being breathed into Your people right now. In Jesus' name, amen.